in progress in Avodah Zarah? Okay. No, Chav Zayin. You weren't here on Sir Thursday. We're on Chav Zayin. We're on 53.
53.
Yeah. We are middle of the page. We're in Bar Kapora, which is one starting.
So I'm saying half of the page. We're starting the top between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 lines down. Okay? Probably around 16 lines to the bottom as well.
Bar Kapora. In the second word in line, there's a dot right before it. Okay?
Oh, I see.
You got it? Bar Kapora?
Yeah, Bar Kapora.
Okay. Bar Kapora. Ashkechad Iska. It's interesting. There's a Amora in the Baal we call Rabbi Lezer Hakfar, which concerning whom there's a similar story told, and the Shaita Yisrael wants to say it's the same individual. So anyway, Bar Kapora Ashkechad Iska. He found a certain. I should preface tonight's learning by the remark that tonight there are a lot of sugyas which are very, very ambiguous. Not hard, but ambiguous. So more than usual tonight, it's my own approach, because there were choices and you just had to make them, and I did. So what can you do? Okay, Bar Kapora Ashkechad Iska. He found a certain a bracelet. Tsar Chad Atali Aramoi. He saw, the period there between Tsar and Chad is erroneous. He saw a certain one young non-Jewish lad. Have a Pari Basrei, and he ran after this non-Jewish lad. And have a Machile. He beat this non-Jewish lad. Have a Meklole. And he was cursing the non-Jewish lad. Have Armele, why? Because you said, Rokola. He said to the non-Jewish kid, spin on it. Because obviously there was some image on it. He wanted the non-Jew to be mevatel this avodah zarah by denigrating it, to cancel it by denigrating it. So he spin on it, v'lo mekab, v'lo mekab, v'lo mekab, he refused to do it. Ashinol, urinate on it, v'lo mekab, v'lo mekab, he wouldn't accept upon himself to do it. So he doesn't say Ulo was upset, Bar Kapora was upset about this. Now, that's the end of the story, but it's important to note this, and I'll come back to this in a few minutes, momentarily, which is that he didn't tell him break it, which obviously by brace he don't want to do. He told him urinate on it or spit on it, okay? That, we're going to learn later on, is usually not sufficient to cancel avodah zarah, okay? You actually have to break it. So therefore the question is, why here would have sufficed? I'll come back to that momentarily, okay? Hodomara, now this teaches us, the fact that Ula Bar Kapora ran after him and tried to get him to spit on it or urinate on it, to teach us, Nochim Abat Avodah Zarah Shalom V'Shal Chavero, a goy can cancel his Avodah Zarah and his friend's Avodah Zarah, Al Korcho. Even without the person's consent, meaning, obviously this lad had no idea who Avodah Zarah was, right? And nevertheless, if he would have urinated or spit on it, would have canceled. Vushir there, the Gemara is qualifying, obviously it's about caught in the shield, there, Tiva Avodah Zarah, so he's got to know the quality of this Avodah Zarah. This is going to come up later again tonight, in order to be considered Oivet Avodah Zarah under certain circumstances, and in order to cancel Avodah Zarah, you have to be old enough to know what that Avodah Zarah is about. And obviously, this lad knew what that Avodah Zarah was about because he refused to spit on it, he refused to urinate on it, so obviously he knew something about it, right? Hodomra, now this teaches us, Avodah Zarah, it says Sh'avdo with an ayin here, which means worship. And the truth is that this statement, the Mecha Mayim, takes out of here and puts it on top of the page with a statement of Rabbi Yossi Barbun, where it's talking about Avodah Zarah, which was worshipped by a non-Jew. Because it's not really relevant here, it's out of left field. Those who hold that it is relevant here learn as follows. Adamra Avodah Zarah Sh'avda with an aleph, Avodah Zarah, which got lost, the bracelet got lost. Right, somebody lost the bracelet. Sh'avda, and then it's Yisroel found it, Ein l'bitul l'olam. It doesn't have any bitul unless he gets a goy to be mevatel it first. In other words, if he would pick it up, if Ula Bar Kapora would have picked it up and mitzoyche in it, acquired it, he's stuck. You have to get this goy to yuvatul it before he can pick it up and acquire it. Okay? So it says more v'tilasa kavarazor. Why? Says more. Let it be like kavarazor shinichu of der. Let it be like kavarazor, which was what's the word in English? Which was forsaken by its worshippers utei betela. New concept. We didn't have this yet. Avodazor, which is forsaken by its worshippers, abandoned is the word to look for. Avodazor, which is abandoned by its worshippers, is no longer considered to be Avodazor. It's canceled, right? So why not this one? Rabbi Zira said, no, it's a logical difference. Koshi Ileo, here's a little bit of a gears problem. Koshi Ilu Meileo, anywhere where it's on its own, but the Shadisol actually changes to Shinichom Elov. In other words, he consciously left it out, but it's sort of if the guy consciously abandoned Avodah Zarah, then Taka, it loses its shame Avodah Zarah. Koshinichom Elov, he learns the change of Koshinichom Elov. He betela, and Yisrael mevatla. Now here's a fascinating line also. Yisrael mevatla, the way the Mechamayim learns this line, he says, what do you mean Yisrael mevatla? Since when can Yisrael be mevatla on Rabbi Zora? A goyetz me mevatla on Rabbi Zora, right? What does Yisrael mevatla? So he says a very interesting thing. He says, I want to say, Chirish Talach, and I think he's right about this, based on the Yerushalmi, there's some more, but I'll tell you in a moment, so I think he's right. He says, even though a guy abandoned his avodah zarah, and that already, takes away its avodah zarah status, nevertheless Yisrael has to do additional mice in order to cancel it. Even though normally bittul Yisrael doesn't do bittul, normally it's a guy who has to be mevatel avodah zarah, but he has to do some sort of additional mice as well, and that's why over here by kapora, I think that's why by kapora over here would have said, as long as this little kid goy would urinate on it or spit on it, it would have been sufficient. Because here, it's not the same thing. See, they're madrigas. If it would have been taka forsaken and abandoned by the goy altogether, so even the Yisrael could be mevatel it. If it wasn't abandoned, forsaken, whether it was lost, so then the Yisrael can't be mevatel it, but he can get a goy to do a lesser madriga bittel. Right? The lesser bittul of just spitting on it or urinating on it. If it's mamish avodah zarah v'goy, which is not forsaken ever by a goy or abandoned by a goy, then he actually has to break it. That's why I would say the hierarchy here is, okay? So I have to say, kol she'ilu, if a Yisrael, if the goy himself had actually consciously abandoned this avodah zarah, then he b'teilu and Yisrael mevakla. It's both on Yisrael can do the mice of bittul. But kol she'ilu, it should be instead of me'leh eino. You can read the way Shai Tzur Sol reads it. Kol she'ilu nicha me'leh. If he didn't forsake it on his own, because here he didn't forsake this avodah zarah bracelet, he lost it. It was lost, not abandoned. Right. So then, eino b'teilo, it's not canceled on its own. You might only need the lesser madrega of spitting and urinating, but you still need a goy to be mevatelet.
How can you differentiate between a lost or an abandoned avodah zarah? You're finding it in the street, you don't know whether it's lost or whether it was abandoned.
That's true. You would have to actually move into a city where the goyim had fled. That would be a case where you know they abandoned. That's coming up later on this evening.
Gets also, it. Was there any concept of Bahavio or Fatolos where Avodah Zarah was put into Sheamus? And in their category of Sheamus. In other words, it's no longer being used, but it's still considered Avodah Zarah.
Yeah, maybe it's in a museum that would still be considered Avodah Zarah. It could be. I would say it is.
It still has the Sheamus.
Sheamus is all right. Okay? Yeah. Rav Amar, Rav said, Bimus lo batel. Now Bimus is really a non-Jewish altar. It's an altar for Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's a type of altar. I'm not sure exactly what the nature of a Bimus altar is, but it's an altar. And it's not batel. Now the way The way, again, I'm going to learn kind of my own derech, but more or less a shayt or eretz. Here it's more or less shayt or eretz Yisrael I'm going to follow. The Rav also says this in the Bavli. And the logic of this is that even though you can, even if he breaks it, even if it's broken, it's an altar can still be used. Rav holds an altar which is broken, still broken, it's a broken altar, but it can still be used. So if it's not baltel, it's worse than Avodah Zarah and worse than Mishamshi Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah itself, if you break it, if a goy breaks it, it's baltel. Mishamshi Avodah Zarah, the pedestal which you put Avodah Zarah, if you break it, it's baltel as well. But not this. A bimus is not baltel, he holds, right? Now, the Shart Yisrael takes out, because next time it says when he beat lo baltel, which sounds like it is baltel. But he takes that all out. Says the soul sugya is repeated, and he takes out the next five lines to the bottom. The last line, and you'll see that those five lines are more or less repeated afterwards, and not quite, but you know, enough that I think that he's correct about this. It says, Hamishamshav Batlu. The Mishamshim, in other words, the pedestal, let's say, of the altar, that's Batlu. Okay, just like the Avodah Zarah itself is Batlu, if it's broken, the pedestal of the altar is broken, but not the altar itself. Now, Machavashita said, Rav seems to contradict himself about whether Bimus is Batlu or not. Tama, turning the page, Amrav says, B'shem Rav, or says the name Rav, B'shehilcholohem, says B'shehilcholohem, which says the Amahalchim, which will really be Hamalochim, B'derech HaCheres. V'achu Amarachin, and here he says differently. There's a fascinating question. Later on, at Dachkop Chesem B'dalv, the Gemara says that if they put up an altar for the purpose of a king, right, you know, let's say the king was going to pass through Chicago, and they put up an altar for him on Michigan Avenue, right? So that altar is contingent on his passing that way. If he doesn't pass on Michigan Avenue, but he goes down some other street, right, instead it goes down State Street, so the altar on Michigan Avenue never became also. Why is that? Because the king didn't go that way. It was a bimus for the king, and the king didn't go that way, right? So it sounds like you can cancel an altar. An altar is not necessarily completely subject to cancellation, to bittul. So how come Rav said here you can't? Says the Gemara, is no comparison. Kam b'shekiter, kam b'shelokiter. Here in our case, talking about an altar where you already sacrificed on it. So of course you can't cancel because it's already a sacrificial altar, and even if it's broken, it's still called the broken altar. But there, when the king chose to go down State Street instead of Michigan Avenue, so then they didn't sacrifice on that altar. So that altar certainly, by definition, never became a true altar, and therefore it's subject to cancellation. Vafilu Tamar, and even you say kan b'kan, you say in both cases, now here the Shai Dissol changes, and I think it's correct, b'shalokiter. Instead of b'shakiter, he says b'shalokiter. Both cases are about where you didn't actually sacrifice. Rav Kedaite, Rav nevertheless follows his reasoning. The Rav Amar, Rav said, Hametich Koshel Avodah Zarah Nesar Miyad. If you designate, literally means here, you forge a cup of Avodah Zarah, we had this previously, it becomes immediately Osir. So here too, the Bimus, which is made to be an altar for the Avodah Zarah itself, so then, even if you just forged it and didn't actually use it, by the moment you forge, it becomes also because of a bimus of Avodah Zarah. But a bimus made for the honor of a king, that's different. Only if they sacrificed it in honor of the king does it actually become also. Because of the nature of a difference between Avodah Zarah and a melech. The Avodah Zarah's honor is immediate, and therefore, and it lasts also, whether you actually sacrificed or not, and that bimus remains also forever. The bimus of a king is contingent on the king actually being honored there. That's the issue later on in Halacha Bav. Okay?
Is Rav saying Hasman and Bilsay, or is he just saying it's a special din about
Avodah? It's a special din by Avodah Zarah, because otherwise by a king it should be the same Halacha. Okay? I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan and the Bavli argues, and Ken, I'm going to learn this similar here. The Rabbi Yochanan argues, he says, Matseva. We have two types of altars. One is a matseva. Koshi yichidus, that's a single stone. Right? It's a single stone altar. Mizbeach is koshi avada merubah, so mizbeach is a multiple stone altar. Now that's according to the Bab Yushami, that's all Rabbi Yochanan said, which is very strange. But we have to need to have an etymological definition of what a mizbeach and a Matzeva is. So I think he's leading it to Chizkiyah's halacha, Chizkiyah's statement, which argues on Rav. Rav said you can never cancel an altar. Chizkiyah Amar Matzeva came in Shenifkimo, Togma. Once you damage the Matzeva, the stone, the solitary stone, Bitla, not you, by the way, the Goy. It's canceled, right? Well, Mizbeach, Tzorich Bagim Kol Lev Eved. By an altar, however, which has multiple stones, you have to damage each and every stone. Okay? So that's the, so he all did, but he argues on Rav. Rav said you can't cancel an altar. He also can't cancel an altar. Now I'm going to switch around the next line, the next four words, the same. I'm going to just switch around the order. Which instead of Masisa Chizka Pli Yilavi, which pretty much wants to say Pshat in, but I don't like this Pshat. I want to say Masisa Pli Yilavi de Chizkiyah. The following Brisa argues on Chizkiyah. Now, the following Brisa is going on a Pasuk. It says, when you get into, and the Pasuk is brought down later in the Gemara, it says, when you get into Eretz Yisrael, you should break down the mizbah. You should whatever the word is, destroy their altars. Yeah, but the verb is before. Destroy their altars. Shibatemis natzivam, break their monuments. The monuments are the altars of one stone. And says psileloyem to gadion, and cut down their idols. Okay. So says Mara on this, the Mara brings out Braisa, Natatsas is Mizbeach Hanachlu. If you destroy the Mizbeach, that's sufficient. Shabbatas and Matzeva, you broke the Matzeva Hanachlu, then that's sufficient. You can leave it there, you don't have to eradicate it altogether. Now, Lamaisa, a couple of things here. First of all, this is against Chizkiyah because it sounds like you don't have to do so to each and every stone. Just do the Natitsa to the Mizbeach in general, not to each and every stone, right? That's so you don't have to do each and every stone. Certainly argues on Rav, because Rav said you can't cancel Mizbeach, but argues even in Chizkiyah say you have to do each and every stone. It sounds like there's no such requirement. But it's interesting, I just want to point this out as an aside. This is talking about Am Yisrael. Normally a Jew can't cancel a Mizbeach, right? You can't cancel some Goy's Mizbeach, right? Because the Goy has to be about the Zavod Zarah. But this is when Yeshua entered Eretz Yisrael. And it's a one-time deal, and probably is getting back to what we learned about it, because the Goyim who left abandoned Eretz Yisrael. Okay, since they abandoned Eretz Yisrael, so they abandoned all their Avodah Zorahs there. Since they abandoned their Avodah Zorahs, so therefore the halacha is more lenient. Like we said in Amarav, a Yisrael could be Mevatel and Avodah Zorah, which was abandoned by a Goy. That's why there was this special dispensation here. Okay, but Bina Esmeit still argues on Chizkiyah, because Chizkiyah said you have to do each and every stone, and here it says, no, you don't have to do each and every stone. Okay? Says Gemara, Rabbi Zira, and Rabbi Yitzhak Barnach B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Chir, Rabbi Lozer B'Shem Rabbi Yeshua said, Bisumo Zepos Yeshaya, which teaches us, Bisumo Kol Adne Mizbeach. Hashem is going to make all the stones of Mizbeach Avne Girmanu Potzos, like chalk, which is battered and smashed. So what does that mean? Radov acharehem, you must pursue these mizbachos, until you eradicate their very mud from the world. Now, that, however, is talking about mizbachos which were built by whom? Who do you think Yishai is talking about? Mizbachos which were built by Jewish, right? Jewish right there, Avodah Zarah. So there, that's true over there, Bram. Ha-ha. There you have to tackle like Chizkiyah do, absolutely batter it down, right? Which is totally destroyed. Bram. Ha-ha. But here, Shavatas made by a Goy, particularly in the case where they abandoned it, Shavata Matzeva Anachlo, he broke it, that's enough. Natatza Matzeva Anachlo, you disturbed a little bit. In other words, you don't need the culture is sufficient. See, it says Lo Sasu Lachem. That was really out of left field. I wanted to tie it in when I was preparing. I wanted to tie it into to what Chizkiyah said, that this is a riot of Chizkiyah. But it sounds true. This it sounds like this is a separate issue. It sounds like a separate issue. So Ksiv, it says Lo Sasu Lachem. Don't make yourselves foreign gods. Pesam Hatzeichol Lo Tzakim Lachem. Don't make yourself idols and mold and graven images. Lo yasiya akim, what's the difference between putting up? Between making and putting up? Same thing, right? So it says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda said no. Asiya b'tchila. Asiya means you can't put them up. Kima means koshia dipo. If it fell down, like you mean, don't re-erect it. Okay? So one is talking about don't make it, and the other says if it fell down, don't re-erect it, right? So that's when you find out about a Zohar lying in the street, you don't put it back up again. Okay? Ksiv, it says, mitatzemetz mizbechoso. It says, break their mizbechos, or destroy their mizbechos. Shibatim, it says, vosom, break their matzevos. Minalitenes omer bezeh bezeh, bezeh bezeh bezeh, and it says, also psi Elohim to Gadeun, right? So the three verbs. Netitza, shvira, and gedila. So how do we know litenes omer bezeh bezeh bezeh? How do we know that the verbs are interchangeable? You can do this on that. Ves omer bezeh bezeh, and that on this. It means it's mix and match. It can work either way. O shibur, o gidua, o netitza, either breaking or eliminating or destroying the chol achatz v'achatz each and every one. Okay, again, there are ways to link the sugi which began with lotasu lachem elilim, six lines before the Mishnah, with the sugi beforehand. And learn that it's going in Chizkiah on its right, for Chizkiah, right against Chizkiah, and some of the Meforshim here do that, but I don't want to bother. I'm not sure it's correct, and therefore I don't want to actually do it. Okay? At first I thought I wanted to do it, but I'm not so sure it's correct. Okay, Ketzer Mevatla. How is the Goy Mevatla of Zabay Zorah? Okay? There's a physical bittle. Kota Rosh Reza. You chop off the head of the ear. Rosh Chotom, the head of the nose. Rosh Chotom, the head of the finger. So you bashed it in. Even though it's not missing any pieces, but the bitla, that's mevatlut. Raka b'fana, however, if you spat on it, hishivana, you urinate on it, garura, gar means you drag it on the ground, zorba zato, you tossed excrement at it, areza ena b'tel, it's not bottle. Now we said it of an aleph, that if a guy lost it, and you did that to it, that suffices. Because we said the three madrigas. If a guy abandoned it, you only need a symbolic bittle, like the previous surya. If a guy lost it, you need more of a bittle, but it only has to be urinating or spitting. If a guy didn't lose it and didn't abandon it, they need actual breakage. Okay? So our mission is going on a guy didn't lose it, didn't abandon it, you need actual breakage, and the other things don't suffice.
By that, some of these activities make you actually probably go to Zohar.
Yeah, right, because of the Peorah thing. Right, that's right. Machra Mishkana, what if you sold or mortgaged your Avodah Zorah? See, Jews should sell shuls and mortgage their shuls, but claim they're frumer. So what if they sold or mortgaged their shuls? Rabbi Yomei Bittel, Rabbi says it's an act of bittel, because it's a disrespectful. Say lo bittel. It's not going to be disrespectful enough, and therefore it's not mevatel. Okay. Amar Abizir Abizir said, "Odomarah." This last statement in the Mishnah is only b'shamachra mitoch sholoim. It's when you sold it at a piece. In other words, you sold it at a time of a peace. You didn't get angry at it. But if you got angry at Avodah Zorah, out of spite you sold it. So you're not being vatal. You're saying, well, this God did me no good. Let somebody else have this God. Interesting, okay? So therefore, since that's the case, but if you were angry at the guy and saw the spite, you call potato, then it's always butto, according to everybody. Okay? But as it says, Vayakir, even Rabbanan would agree. But as it says, Vayakir, Abis, Katsepi, Kilomako, it will get hungry and angry, and he's going to curse his king, so I'll cancel over the Zor. Zira Bachina B'Shem Rechid said, depends who you sold to. Kshem Mochra, it should be, the Pnei Moshe doesn't change the gear, so actually, B'Shem Rechid doesn't change the gear, so. They both mean the same thing, though. Shemacha letzoreif. Now, if you sold it to a tzoreif, what's a tzoreif?
A smelter,
a jeweler, right? Who smelts it down? So then it's machlokas rabban and rebbe whether it's mevatel or not. Avimacha leovda. If you sold it to somebody else who's going to worship it, divrei kol nebatel. Logic, it's not bottle, right? Rabbi Yim Rishem Rab said, no, B'shemachal of Dea Nechluku. So if you sold to another worshiper, then it's a machloikas. Avolimachal Litzayred. If you sold it to the guy who's going to smelt it down for jewelry, the Ibrahim called Batali, everybody agrees that in that case, it's Bato.
Can Jew be the smelter?
Yeah, the Jew can be the smelter, sure. Because it's already Bato by the time he gets it. It's the sale to him which was involved, though. It's not his melting it down. The sale to a tzaret is his denigration.
The guy is getting hanoah from the money that he's getting out of sale.
Yeah, but by that time he was already mabatel it. I don't think it'd be nanto. Anyway, I don't think that's an issue like that, because obviously he's not going to go thank his avodah zarah for canceling if he just canceled it.
No, but he's getting money for it.
So what? But the Jew's not getting hanoah from avodah zarah.
No, but the guy is getting the money from the...
And there for what? Is the guy's not allowed to get money?
I know of that because he's getting money for...
Yeah, so what? But by that time he's selling someone which is mevato. It's okay, he can do that. I don't think there's any problem with that.
Unless it's at the same time.
So now, I know the Jews are the drunk dealers, so obviously it's going to them. Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. I don't think it's a problem. Okay. Now, the Tractate Israel throws in here a brisa, which I think is a good idea. He brings that brisa like this. Tani, it's a good brisa in the sixth paragraph of the Tosefta. Goy shemach avadazor lo avdea. If a goy sold avadazor to its worshippers, it's osir. Shalol avdea, if it sold it not to its worshippers, it's muteris. Okay? Now, on this, the Gemara brings out Rabbi Yaakov ba'ach b'shem Rabbi Yaakov said divrei kol. Everybody agrees that it depends whether you sold it to its worshippers or not. Rabbi Hila b'shem b'shem b'lon, he said, no, it's machlokas. If you sold it to its non-worshippers, then that too is a machlokas. Okay? Vasa Rabbi Chanina to Rabbi Yechna. Rabbi Chanina who sold that at the moment you sold it to non-worshippers, Rabbi Yochanan said, I'm sorry, that the moment you sold it to non-worshippers, it's okay. That took Rabbi Chanina that if you sold it to, 1 second, how does it work out? Rabbi Yochanan, Vasa Rabbi Chanina, who said if you sold it to, Rabbi Chanina said if you sold it to the worshippers, so then it's not bota, right? So this, so that brisa which says that if you sold that avodah zarah to its worshippers, it's aser, that's a Rabbi Chanina, right? Because Rabbi, that's what he said, the Biyakon Ebetela. That's a Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. Rabbi Hila Shemesh, Rabbi Yirmiya, who said even if you sold it to its worshippers in Mount Locus, so he's got to learn like Reish Lakish, who said that in that brisa, which says that in that brisa, which says you sold it to its worshippers, it's not to its worshippers, muta, that too is the subject of Reish Lakish and Mount Locus, as Reish Lakish said. Maikudu, what's the conclusion? So it says, Mar B'shamach, L'tzoref Nechloku, the Mount Locus is indeed, even if you sold it to a smelter. But if you sold it to its worshippers, everybody agrees it's not canceled. Okay. Avodazor Shinucha of there. And Avodazor, which was abandoned. Here's the Mishnah about Avodazor, which is abandoned. Okay? Avodazor is abandoned by its worshippers. Bishasholoim, if it's a time of peace, muteris. Because they intentionally abandoned it. Right? Bishas Muhammad, they fled. It's awesome. It's Osir. Why is it Osir? Because they just went away. They weren't abandoned. They didn't have time, right? Coming back, Mar's going to discuss it. B'masol shel malachim, the altars made for the honor of kings, ha'reilim b'torim, they're okay. B'neshem ha'midim asa b'shoah shel malachim ovrim, they do it when the kings are passing by. And meaning, if the kings don't pass by, so then there's no problem. Okay? So, okay, says the Maratani, we learned, Milchemes Yoshua Asura, the Milchama of Yoshua, the Avodah Zarah, which was left at that time, was prohibited. And it should be Kim Milchemes Yoshua Muteris. If it's like the war of Yoshua, it's permitted. We'll explain what that means momentarily. Milchemes David, on the other hand, Milchama of David, Avodazorah and Shekhanah by David and Muteris were permitted. Kimel Chemes David, it was like the war of David and Asura. Milchemes Yoshua Asura was that, see if it says, Kiacharein tach remain. Says whatever Avodah Zorah you find, you have to be machrim them. Okay? You have to be machrim the Avodah Zorah. So it's interesting because really, the Mizbachos we said before, you don't have to do that. Machrim acharein tach remain means you can't cancel them. You have to rat it. You have to just destroy them and eradicate them, plut yama melech, right? Mizbachos had said before, you don't have to do that. You can just damage them and that's sufficient. Why is that? Because the truth is that really Al-Pidin, the Avodah Zorah at the time of Yeshua should be mutter. Why should it be mutter? Because those goyim, the Knanim, they were all over Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua didn't eradicate them. Baba Noseinu Rabin, for his first Berakhan Shoftin, tells us, right? They all remained in Eretz Yisrael. They were all over the place, right? So really, Al-Pidin should be mutter because it's like abandoned by the goyim because they could have come back and gotten it and they didn't come back and get it, right? So therefore, it's a special Xeris HaKosah that nevertheless those Avodah Zorahs were prohibited. Not the Mizbachos. Mizbachos they're allowed to do things with. But the Avodah Zorahs were prohibited. So that's what it says. Kimel Chemes Yoshua, another time in Jewish history where there to be a war like Yoshua's war, where they could have come back and retrieved them and they didn't. Muteres! Those Avodah Zorahs to be Mutashi Lashah! Because they're only gone for a short time. They were still 14 years, whatever it was, they were in a state of fear. But then the Canaanites, crept back. And they took over at certain times. Yavin's time, other times. So therefore, since they didn't actually take it, so therefore, it should be Mutar. Okay? So it's just a special case by Yeshua's milchama that it wasn't mutter. And vice versa, milchamas David muteres. The milchama of David was mutter only really when David could wage war against Goyim, he killed all the Goyim. The truth is he didn't always kill all of them, but even those he didn't kill, it seems, I want to say a little bit of a chiddush here, that he took them and he made them like Gerat Toshavs. In other words, because Allah says if you conquer a non-Jewish nation, you can make them, tributaries, they have to pay, and you can leave them alive as long as they accept Sherev Mitzvahs. So I'm wondering that maybe a guy who accepts Sherev Mitzvahs already can't be Mavatala by the Zara. I don't know about that. I'm not so sure. Because either, I don't know that David actually literally killed everybody. There are cases where he killed everybody, but maybe it's very bad, even in case he didn't kill anybody, but Lamaisa, he made them so frum that he couldn't be Mavatala by the Zara anymore. And we be as made the Gemara seems to learn that he killed them all. Okay, or when he kicked them out, they weren't coming back. Okay, Chavistan Muteres. So really, it should be awesome because they didn't really abandon it, right? They didn't abandon it; they were killed or they were kicked out, right? So why is it Muter? So Muteres because of technicality. Mashal Ohaya Ita Hagiti Mevatel. He had a designated Mevatel. He took a guy with him, Ita Hagiti, wherever he went. And this guy was Mavakal Avodah Zorah as they conquered them. Brilliant move on David's part, right?
Why is it just any guy can be Mavakal, any Avodah
Zorah? Yeah, we said that. Yeah, you weren't here. Said that. Okay? So, because he had the designated guy to be Mavakal. However, Kimel Cheves David Yasura Shi'ili Ha'ilam. Like Milchama David is forbidden because in that case they weren't abandoning, they were kicked out or killed, and therefore it's not going to be a law of abandonment. Okay, the other pshatim in this, I think that's a good pshat. Sholos kenim es haskenim barombi. They asked the elder Jews in Rome, im ein ritzon about Avodah Zorah, because Baruch Hu doesn't want Avodah Zorah. V'nei ma'inu mevatel, why doesn't he cancel the Avodah Zorah? Why doesn't he, just stop Avodah Zorahs in the world? Over there. So the Jewish elders said to the Roman elders, Ilu Darvashain Sarah Olam Ayu Bo Ayu Ovdim, where they worship something which is not necessary for the world, I'm about to Shema cancel it. V'achshav, but Harain Ovdim, but they worship Ulchama, the sun, Luvana, the moon, the Kochavim, the stars, the Mazos, the constellations, Laharim, the mountains, the Gvolos, and the hills. Yovar Alamav Ne'ashoyti wanted Kosh Baruch Hu to destroy the world because the idiots who worship all these things? Says Marmalem, so they said the Roman elders were not convinced. They said, Ekin Yovar Dovah Shein Tzor Cholom Bo, let him destroy that which is not necessary for the world to be sustained. Ekin Dovah Shein Tzor Cholom Bo, let him leave the stuff which the world needs.
So Amar Leh, so he said, the Jewish elders said to the Roman elders, no, that won't work either. They said, that's going to make those who worship, say, the sun, feel more firm in their commitment to worship the sun. Why? Because the Yomim, they'll say, Tedu Shalos. They'll say, look, our God's a real God. Share Elu Baklu, because the Almighty waged war against the other gods. They Elu Baklu, and these are not Baklu. So therefore, it says, Akash Baruch Hu, that's not going to work. So like the Bittul is just going to, on my part, is just going to sustain the other ones. Okay? Says Mara, Gazal Zera. If a person stole seed, Vizora, and he planted, ain't so full of tamech. Really, in the end, it shouldn't grow. That would be proper that it shouldn't grow. Abol Eshazish. Somebody who has relations with a married woman. Ain't so full of lead mamzer. Really, in the end, you shouldn't, sure, because Bosh should not allow conception to occur and give birth to mamzer. Ela iniach olam sheyina kimin hogo. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the world to conduct itself according to its normal derech. In other words, but he didn't interfere with Teva on these matters. Shotim Shekilklu, and the idiots who distorted things, right, who went awry, Asim Litin and Din V'Cheshbon, they'll eventually get their comeuppance in the Olam HaEmes, right, in the world of truth after this. Amar Azir, Azir said, word to say, like them shall be their worshippers. We said that in Hallel, right? That Tasha, it will be difficult. Then you want to say that the person, what about the person, people worship the sun and the moon? Then that would have been that, would have said that they're like the sun and the moon. And we don't want that, because that will make them themselves Avodah Zarah. El Kamomi will say that, to say, like them shall be those who make them, meaning the idol worshippers who make idols, the idol manufacturers who make idols will be like the idols they make. Okay, because that obviously is derogatory, and that obviously means they're going to be negated. So that's the parallel. Ramana said, Eluksiv Kamom, you of them, no! Even were to say, like them shall be the worshippers, low kach is not a problem. The receive it says in the world to come, the chofra levana, the moon will be embarrassed. The vajra chama, and the sun will be shamed. So we see that even the sun and moon will eventually be eliminated, and the light will be a divine light. Renach v'shem Rebbe Mona said, asid avos and leon. Eventually the avodah zorah itself, Leo's bow will come, v'roikekes mifnei odea, and it itself will spit in the face of its worshippers, whom Vaisha son, and will embarrass them, will betray them in Olam, and then the Avodah Zarah will cease to exist. Umatam apostle Jesus is turning the page, Yevoshuko of the Pesel. All those who worship Solim will eventually be embarrassed. When Nachum Sheremani said, I see the Avodah Zarah, Leo's Bob, the Karasim, the Akash Baruch Hu. Eventually, Avodah Zarah will come and bow down before God. As it says, then it'll be negated from the world. Matam, apostle Jesus, Yishtachbu lo kol Elohim, all gods will bow down to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? Shifting gears totally, as a matter of fact. That's it for Avodah Zarah, guys. Now we talk about, don't worry. Just kidding. No, now we talk about Yain Nesek. Go back to Yain Nesek. Okay, that's it for the Avodah Zarah part of Avodah Zarah. Lochim Kas Putamina Nochim is a very interesting sugi actually here. It requires a lot of tikkuni gears. Lochim Kas Kasina Putamina Nochri. You can take a gas. Have you guys ever been in a vineyard? Mm-hmm. Actually, it's not a vineyard, in a winery.
A winery?
Winery? When you went sailing, they didn't take you to a winery? So, in my lens, you're my Renaissance man. You got to do these things. Okay, look. This is the way, roughly, what it looks like.
This is where they press the grapes over here.
Mm-hmm.
They press the grapes, either with boards or with feet. Then the grape juice flows over here. Okay? And it flows down in a collecting vat. So the premise of our mission is, when is it actually considered to be wine? What would you say?
Was it
born
after ferments?
No.
No, after it goes into the...
Leaving the...
Right.
As soon as it becomes liquid.
Nope. When it's in the tube.
Well, it's liquid by that time.
No, but it's liquid already in here. Okay? Well, no, because... Yeah, that's not right. This is for mass production. Okay, so it's when it's in the tube. Okay, that's going to be very. That's going to be the tongue. How do you know that? Was the Mishnah
recently?
Okay, Logan Gas Butamin Anochri. You say you condemn. I'm impressed. I am impressed. Logan Gas Butas. So the Butamin's already kicked, meaning that they've already done the pressing. You can take this if a guy did the pressing. But the tube has been stopped up. You can buy from him the press area. Okay. Avol bishu noito biyodav noito tokapu tapuach. And even if the goy has been this time standing in this area and he's been taking the grapes skins and sediment out and putting in a pile, and that means that the wine is separating from the sediment. Doesn't matter. Okay, it's still considered wine. It's not considered being nesach at shiyered labor until it goes down into the vat, which actually doesn't address the tube. The tube will be addressed in the gemara. Sounds like it's only when it's in the vat. Mashabor also yared labor once it's in the bor. Mashabor also that which is in the vat or the pit is also a shar, but everything else is mutter. Everything else is mutter. Okay. Time of Chayan and Rav Chanan said, "Busha lo elim is."
What's the shar referring to?
What?
What does it mean, the shar?
What is he shar?
Shar.
Oh, whatever's left in the wine press area. Whatever's left in the wine press area is mutter. Okay. Okay. Time of Chayan. Rav Chanan said, "Busha lo elim is so say to be met." Akdun shayon neitel yain vanovin keachas neitzan tapuach. That I understand, that would say a mission that even the guy is taking the sediment and grapes out, grape skins. So that I understand if he's taking the wine and the grape skins and putting on the pile together, in other words, he's not separating. What if he put each one independently? Meaning he was separating. In the wine press area, he was separating. Afilu, it should say, Afilu Cain. Here it says Afilu mean, but all the portion changes. Afilu kein mutter. As long as it hasn't gone down into the collecting vat, it's still okay. Okay? Gavamiyo shetara slash kwelos. Now, there are different interpretations of this line here. The most important portion we're going to say about stam, you have a cluster of grapes on the ground somewhere, not necessarily in the wine press. So gavamiyo shetara slash kwelos, you have a cluster of grapes on the ground, and there was like a hollow under the cluster, and somehow some wine came out of the grape. I don't know if you stepped on it actually, or just, you know, it flowed out, and it's on the ground underneath the cluster, right? So it should say here, mutaris. That's okay, because it hasn't flowed yet. Hasn't flowed yet away. Shebetzidein, but once the wine has flowed away from the cluster, in other words, there's a little depression in the ground, and the cluster is here, and the wine has flowed from the cluster into the depression, that's asuros, because there was a flow. Okay, what defines wine is the flow from point A to point B. If the wine is directly underneath point A, it hasn't moved, then it's not yet considered to be wine vis-a-vis yayin nesach. It's only after a flow has occurred from point A to point B. Okay? Rabbi Yisrael Ben Moshe Rieldon said, hey, that's more nasos yayin nesach. He disagrees. He holds that even if the depression is underneath a cluster of grapes, that's considered ready to constitute sufficient flow in order that it can be made yayin nesach. Okay? There are interpretations. That's my interpretation for this evening. Gashi pokiko nachri mi bifnim. Now, according to the Shari Tzitzor, according to Bnei Moshe Toivah, there actually was a crack in it. I don't know if they need in the Gospel. I don't know if you need to have a crack. So I'm just going to learn that with this pipe. So if the goy sealed the pipe over here, okay, up by the press area, then it's okay, the wine didn't become usher. But if the goy sealed the pipe down here by the vat area, it becomes usher. Why? Because he touched flowing wine. Because the wine has already flowed over here. And at that point, therefore, it seems that the pshat is that it makes the entire wine press usher, because it travels up the flow and back into the press. In fact, he sealed it here and therefore touched it over here. We'll get there. Says Mara, Gashapoga Nochich Mirifnim is muteres. Switching the gears to here. It's permissible. Mibachutz, if it's on the outside, it's asura. Why? She'iev shar shaloya sham, it should be tipa, achas, should be tzlula. There must have been one, since it was at the bottom of the tube, or according to the Pnei Moshe, in the crack, there must be at least one clarified drop. Benogea bun, you touch it, umenasech kol abor, and the entire bor travels up, and the entire bor means, the bor here means the, not the bor, the collecting vat, but the wine press area, okay? Says Marav Huna B'Shem Rav said, Hakiluach, here it says Kibor, but here it should mean, say, Chibor. The Riva changed Gisa. Because he's saying that Nitzok, the pouring, the flow in the pour, in the pouring in the tube is connection. Which of course we never say, which the Gemara is about to take that up. If you have, let's say, if you're pouring a wine into a cup and there's tumma in the cup, the tumma doesn't travel up. So that's what's going to bother the Gemara. How come here all of a sudden Nitzok is Chibor, right? Or Kilua Chibor. Rabbi Zira asked that question. Now again, as I mentioned it earlier, I'm going to learn the sugya the way I want to learn the sugya, which is a conglomeration of the Shartari, the Mashbiach, the Ridvaz, Shartari, Sogin, Ephraim, and Mechamayim. None of them learn precisely the way I'm going to learn, but I'm going to gather things from their shitas and make it work the way I think it would like it. I would like it to work. Rabbi Zira asked, because our leisat ovid hanitzo chibor, all the ganshas nitzok, that which is poured is not a connection. Here, that which supports a connection. So if the Nachri is sealing on the bottom over here, it travels up the Yainesach, up the ladder, so to speak. How could this be? Like you said, it's good aches, right?
Good
aches
is
a metal. Oh, good aches, right. It's good aches. So how could that be? So it says the Gemara, it doesn't work. So Rav Huna said, held. Nisnasech habor, nisnasech hakiluach, nisnasech hakiluach. It's the word lo, they take out. Nisnasech habor. What he says, what he holds is something else. He says, actually, it's all part of the question. The Gemara assumes that Rav Huna holds that nisnasech habor, nisnasech kiluach, nisnasech kiluach, nisnasech habor, right? In other words, that there's a chibur, and that where therefore, if he touches here, the flow, it's like touching here. If he touches here, it's like touching the flow. That's what Gemara assumes. Says Gemara, no. Says Gemara, na'ah. Rabbi Ba, lo amarkein. Rabbi Ba doesn't know that way. Rather, el nisnasech chabor, lo nisnasech chakiluach. Nisnasech hakiluach shosvi, lo nisnasech habor. It doesn't work either way. In other words, avade. We don't know nitzok is chibor. There's no connection via nitzok. The flow is not a connection. Mighty Amar Rav Huna, that which what Rav Huna said, b'shem Rav, name of Rav, hakiluach, it should be again chibor, that the flow is a chibor. So Rav Huna, Rav Huna said, it's a unique case here. Kishem shabor misnasech, kacha kiluach misnasech. It's unique halacha b'yayin nesech. Now, it's not clear if this is a deraisa or a derabanan. Okay? I'm not sure whether it's deraisa or derabanan one can learn either way. But here's a special halacha. It's not that the nitzok is chibur. It means the das of the goy is to use all of the wine here for the purpose of avodah zarah, for the purpose of libation. And even as touching part of the wine, then it's considered to be libation and everything else. It's not like tumah tara, where you need the tumah to travel up a flow or travel down the flow. The goy's intent, when if he's taka making ayin esach, which is our assumption, which underlies his activity, is to make the entire thing ayin esach. Now again, as I said, I'm not sure if that's the derice of the rabbanan issue.
But it still has to be accompanied with part of the flow.
Yeah, but it's not a din of nitzok chibur. In other words, in kol tarakula, we know nitzok is not a chibur. Flow is not a connection. Yeah, it's because, you know, it's like a handle. The flow is like a handle for the purpose of libation on the rest of it, and vice versa. Vice versa is like a handle on the flow for libation. So it's again, it's unique. Halacha says more in yayin nesach.
You say that's an aspect of
his
nearest
das. Yeah, that's what I want to say. It is aspect, but I'm not sure that makes it the rice of the rabbanon. It is his das. About it's the das of the goy. But the question whether that das, this v'yai nesach, is so stringent that it makes it mamish of the rice. I don't know. It's not clear from the sugya. Maybe if you looked in the Bible, it would be clearer, but here it's at least not clear. Okay? Says the Gemara. Now, Tama, along these lines, Tama nami v'shem Rav, over there they say name Rav, Mago shel nochri osa yai nesach. The touch of a goy makes yai nesach. Now I'm going to listen to Pnei Moshe first, and then I'll tell you the way Shartai Yisrael learns it. The touch of Gomorrah, now it says, as long as he makes it move. Shosis means he causes it to move. But it's not just touching, but there's a ripple effect. And that could be the reason here as well. The way the Pnei Moshe learns, that could be the reason. In other words, normally, Nitzok is not chibur, flow is not chibur. But here, ripple effect of the goy's movement is what makes it also. And the ripple travels up and down. And that's why the das of the goy connected with the ripple is what makes it work. Okay? That's more or less, again, it's not precise Pnei Moshe, but that I learned according to Pnei Moshe. Try to tell us a totally different track. Because he says it's not what Shreisis means. Shreisis doesn't normally mean but that it causes ripples. Right? Rather, Shreisis means drip. And therefore he changes the gears. So trust me, it drips. It's something which doesn't flow properly, but drips. Tip, drip, 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 drip. So the way he learns it here, he actually throws in words. He says, Tamanari B'Shem Ramago Shanoch, he throws in the words, B'kiruach, when he touches the flow, Eino Siyai Nesach. So Imam has changed the meaning. He says, if a goy touches the kiruach, it doesn't make Yai Nesach. If you touch the flow, it's taka not yai nesach. Why is that? Because nitzok is not a chibur. So therefore it doesn't make. And that, Reb Nachum Yaakov said, when does it not make yai nesach? Now the Shai Dish will change it for a positive statement. When does it? To an answer, say, when does it? It does not. That's only b'shosis. It's only if the flow is a dribble. Because if the flow is a dribble, tip, drip, 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 then it's not a chibur. But if the flow is a solid flow, even though called terakul, it might not be a chibur. But vis-a-vis yai nesach, then it is a sufficient chibur. Okay? So I don't know if Shai Dizel is correct or not. He changes the entire girsa, but you have to tup shot him. Pnei Moshe says, learns it's being as a statement of when a goy does make yai nesach. He makes yai nesach when he touches, and as long as he causes a lot of the ripple. According to the Shai Dizel, it's when is a goy not make the yai nesach, when the chibur is a dribble, but if the chibur the nitzok is a dribble. But if the nitzok, the flow is stronger, then he does, it travels up the line. Okay. Some lighter stories. Happier moments. Aramaya Nofa Luguma Guva. A goy fell into the pit of wine. Sure made the goy happy, right? As the he didn't die. What?
Grape juice. It wasn't wine.
I think it is in the Bible. As not precisely the same. As the Ravuna. The story came from Ravuna. All right. Now this obviously is talking about pure radical, theoretical. But it's a cute theoretical story. Ravuna Selmar Kavshinole, hold the goy down. Don't let him come up. At the Tishulun Guva until you empty the pit. Okay? So he shouldn't touch it. Because if he touches it, you're in trouble. So Rabbi Akina said, you're the Oishit. What do you mean? He's going to stick out his hand and touch it, right? So he said, I should nitrin, bring branches, and put them underneath his hands in order to hold his hands up, or that he shouldn't touch it. So they have to hold him there suspended by his arms, so his arms can't touch. In the meantime, they drain the pit of wine from underneath him. Okay? So I have the Pshatim here, but the Pnei Moshe has a very strange crowd. I'll tell you what Pnei Moshe is. The Pnei Moshe says, he learns the Pshat is that they should drain the rest of the pit where he hasn't touched. Okay, that's what he learned. Zalfin, Mitusi, other means drain from underneath his hands, meaning for hasn't touched it, which is very strange, because Kor wants to go and touches one part of the pit, the whole pit is also. Kiluach is a chibur, right? That certainly where the pit is one large pit, it's a chibur. So Pnei Moshe is very strange. Shem Bachia was the Rebbe Achia Bar Rav, and he told him the following. He said, Nochim Emesai Yossi Yai Nesuch. From when is Goya make Yai Nesuch? And he told him, Amar Le, he said, Mishiva Yodea Betiva Vodazar, once he's old enough to know what that Vodazar is all about. And we had, at the beginning, that's the age in which a Goya can be Mavakala Vodazar. This is the time when he can make Yai Nesuch. So Afik Rav, it says Rav Yeshua here, but it's a mistake. So maybe it's Rav Yeshua. You know, I didn't look. I remember how they fixed it. I think it's Apik Rav. Yeah, it's Rav Reshe. Should be Roshe. Rav Roshe means it's the because a similar story we had back in Erevin. Back in Erevin about Rav interrupting while his kid was studying. So there it says Apik Rav Roshe mean Kavsa. He stuck his head out the window to correct them. So that's how they changed the gears here too. Apik Rav Roshe mean Kapsa. He stuck his head out the window and he said the following. He said, Hodod Atomar, that's only true below Kech, it should be Avodim Minanochri. That's when you buy an Eved. Interesting thing. An Eved really shouldn't make the Ainesuch, because an Eved is.
Belongs to
a Jew, right? He only makes Yai Nesach, therefore, from the time that he suspects the worship of Avodah Zarah. Because then when he's Yodeh, but he Avodah Zarah, he suspects the worship, but then he makes it also. Avol Nachri Atzel, but a guy, a GFB, right, a guy from birth, so then, Taka Ben Yoyma also Yai Nesach, a little baby guy, who comes to contact with Jewish wine, kosher wine, he makes the Yain Nesuch immediately.
Even though he doesn't have
God's. Even though he doesn't know, right. God sees the Rabbanon. I assume, yeah. Okay.
Spiritual.
No, it's the Rabbanon. No, it's the Harachoka. It's the Rabbanon. Okay? Says Mara, Nochim Maushi Asa Bibiv Yain Nesuch. Remember the guy in the pit, right? So he starts drinking with his mouth. We're holding up his arms, but he starts drinking with his mouth. Does that make a Yain Nesuch? Rav Adam Shem Rav Elazar said, "Ain Nochri Yosei Yain Nesuch." He's got to use his mouth because libation. He's got to use his hands. Libation is no libation with the mouth. Rav Yirmiyahu B'Shem Rav Elazar said, "Ain Nochri Yosei Yain Nesuch." Yes, he does make Yain Nesuch with his mouth. The Tani came. We also learned. It says agronisus, but it really should be agronimum. It's a wine taster, whatever it is. Shetah min akleis. If he tasted from the cup or min hamenekes or a straw, the yichzer lechavis, and he put it back in the barrel, also, then it's forbidden. Now, daiter of Adam Shem Lezer, vushin the yichzer anochri. This is talking about where the goy put it back, meaning with his own hands. In other words, he took it out of the barrel, right? Either bought with his mouth or with a straw or something, and then he put it back. Since the putting back makes it also because he touched with his hands when he put it back. That's the assumption. Okay, I'll die to Rabbi Yirmiyah, but according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, who holds a person with goy makes yaines of a thief. So according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Shem Rabbi Avo, so I feel even if he saw put it back, even the goy didn't come to physical into tactile contact with the wine, since we're in his mouth at some point, then putting it back into the mixture in of itself, even if a Jew puts it back, would make it also. Okay, so it remains a machlokas. I don't know what the halacha is, whether it makes, whether you use them, where the mouth makes it also or not. Mr. Mora Bachman. Okay. Halacha this. Dorchim anochi begas, you can press grapes with a goy in the vineyard, in his wine press. Because not in Yain Nesach. So you're not driving an offering Yain Nesach, because it only comes in Yain Nesach when it goes down to the boar. So you can do it for pay. Avalo Botshimo, but you cannot harvest with him grapes, because halacha, because this town holds, you can't cause tumor to wine to chulin in Eretz Yisrael. And this is chulin in Eretz Yisrael. You can't press with it. I can't harvest with it because it's going to make it tummy. The Yisrael shuleisa betuma. If you have Yisrael who's making his wine betuma, and that's going to even be trumus umaisus, right? Lo dorchim lo botshimo. Then you misay der ravera. You cannot do neither the harvest nor the pressing because he's going to when he's doing mitami trumus umaisus. Avo malichin mo chavias legas. But once the you can bring the you can carry barrels with him, transport, because at that point there's no Mesayda Ve'avera, bring from the wine press. So it's two from the wine press again, then there's no Mesayda Ve'avera. On Rabbi said, that which you said you can press with the goy, and it's not a problem of causing tumors where the goy is already metame it, right? Where the goy already pressed them, Shtiverev in the form of an X. But if they haven't gone for an X, we don't necessarily assume all of it is tummy already, and therefore you cannot go and press with him yet at that point. And Rabbi Sai, even though it's early for us, we'll have to stop here because I didn't prepare beyond here.